wherever we happen to be. God's Spirit is making us one body in Christ as we lift up his name in praise. Debbie, thank you so much for sharing that word and being obedient. We need to hear the Holy Spirit speak to us today. If you have your Bibles with you, if you have your scripture portions open, and if you don't, get them open now. We're going to read today from the book of Hebrews. We're going to start in chapter 3 at verse 7, and we're going to keep reading right the way through until we get to chapter 4, verse 12. So, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion, during the time of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. That's why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, if, indeed, we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. As has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had good news proclaimed to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said, so I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his works have been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, on the seventh day God rested from all his works. And again in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us, therefore, make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. For the word of God is alive and active. Sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates, even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we want to hear your voice today. We want to be strengthened and encouraged by the words of life that you are speaking to us. I pray that you would give us understanding and application to what you will teach us today, Lord God. In Jesus' name, Lord, amen. This passage we've read is about going on a journey and arriving at a wonderful place. It's a place that God has promised to everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. It's a place that God wants to take us to. It's a place of a deeper life and deeper fellowship with Jesus. It's a place where we hear God's voice. It's a place where peace reigns in the midst of turbulent times. It's a place where we have a deeper dependence on Jesus and live in his strength. Faith's answer is always go forward. The Holy Spirit urges us to go forward with faith in Jesus, to enter into a new place of rest in God. The Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, believe that God wants to take you to this wonderful place. We're continuing to study the book of Hebrews together. We're going deeper into the Word. We're wrestling with the Scriptures today to squeeze out every bit of goodness that we can get, that God wants to feed us with through his Scriptures. In the previous lesson, we learned about the glory Jesus has as the Son of God and as the Son of Man, and that our faith becomes stronger when we learn to see Jesus in his glory. We saw that the writer of Hebrews introduces Jesus with a new title, the High Priest, who stands before God as our representative. For this reason, he had to be made like us, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful High Priest. And we learned that to have confident faith, we just fix our thoughts on Jesus. He has authority over the future and over our destiny. We can have confidence for tomorrow when we put our faith in Jesus today. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, so as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. So as the Holy Spirit says, the writer is quoting from Psalm 95. Now, often when the New Testament writers, like Paul, for example, quote from the Psalms, they'll write, David said, or because David wrote most of the Psalms. Or when Paul quotes verses from the Pentateuch, that's the first five books of the Bible, he might say, Moses says. But the writer of Hebrews is different. He says, the Holy Spirit says. And he does this several times in the book of Hebrews. The writer wants us to understand that the words he's quoting are the words that come directly from God by the Holy Spirit. The Bible is true because its words were breathed out by the Spirit of truth. Paul wrote to Timothy, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. God-breathed is another way of saying inspired or given through the Spirit. The Apostle Peter writes, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. There are people today who say that all Christians need is the New Testament, and that the Old Testament's really not important. But the New Testament itself says that the Old Testament is the voice of God. When Moses, David, and the prophets wrote, the Holy Spirit spoke through them. And when we read the Bible today, the Holy Spirit speaks to us through the written word. The Holy Spirit spoke through David when he wrote these words. And the Spirit spoke to the Hebrews through this verse when the writer of Hebrews quoted it to them. And the same Holy Spirit is speaking to us through these words. Listen to the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Today. The Holy Spirit is speaking today. The word of faith is always about today. We always respond in faith based on today. Now, we want to do something different. We want to say, well, I'll tell you what, when that COVID pandemic is over, we'll really get moving. Or when we have enough money put together, then we'll take a bold step. When we've got all the plans and strategies figured out, then we can go ahead. The Holy Spirit says, today, not tomorrow, not next month, not when this is over or when this is settled. Faith is going forward, and faith is today. Today, if you hear, I got an amen, thank you. Everyone at home, on your couch, in your living rooms, whatever, say amen, thank you. I think Pastor Ralph's following around on the comments thread, so he will hear you say amen. And if he doesn't hear you say amen, well, you know. Today, if you hear his voice, is the beginning of a quote from Psalm 95, verses 7 to 8. The writer of Hebrews is sending this letter to a church that is made up almost entirely of Jewish believers. So, of course, he uses examples from their history to help them understand how to live by faith in difficult times. He knows they're familiar with the Old Testament writings. So he just has to quote a couple of lines from Psalm 95, and he knows they will instantly remember the whole story. So let's read this psalm and remember this story so that we can learn from this example. Psalm 95, and I'm going to start at verse 6. I'll give you a second to turn there if that helps you. But Psalm 95, verse 6. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he's our God and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if only you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the wilderness where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, there are people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. These verses and psalms were written hundreds of years after the events that they describe. And these are some of the most important and pivotal, critical events in Jewish history. They're the events around the time that God led his people out of slavery and bondage in Egypt and took them on a journey to a wonderful place that he had promised to give them. But because of lack of faith and disobedience, when they finally got there, he would not let them enter it. They were forced to wander around the desert, and a journey that should have taken a few weeks took 40 years. Every adult from that generation, meaning every man of fighting age, died in the wilderness without ever putting a foot in that place. Now, there were many times the people rebelled against God, and this scripture may remind us about a particular incident that happened at Kadesh Barnea. When the spies came back with such a frightening report, the people got terrified and said, that's it, we're turning around, we're going to go back to Egypt. But in this psalm, the Holy Spirit is reminding us of something that happened a bit later, similar events that happened at Massah and Meribah. Massah and Meribah was a place of complaining and quarreling. That's what the words actually mean. Complaining and quarreling. Has anyone ever been in a place of complaining and quarreling? It's not a very nice place. The people couldn't find water. They were thirsty, and they started saying, well, God's obviously not with us. He's abandoned us. God has left us. We're doomed. I'm going to read from Numbers, chapter 20. This is just the story it's referring to. The Lord says, so the people are complaining, the people are saying, God isn't with us. What's going to happen? The Lord said to Moses, take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You'll bring water out of the rock for the community so they and their livestock can drink. So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock. And Moses said to them, listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock? Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I gave them. God told Moses to speak to a rock. so the people could have water. But instead, Moses hit the rock with his staff. Now, there is an entire sermon we could preach on that. We don't have time for it. But you can look it up in your Bible, and I'll give you a hint what Moses did wrong. In the New Testament, we learned that rock was Jesus. There, you got that? Take it from there. So they listen to two things. God says about this. First, you did not trust me enough. Second, you will not bring this community into the land I promised. You're not going to go in yourself. This is a serious example that the writer wants us to remember. Even Moses and Aaron, the two greatest, most spiritual leaders that Israel had, were shut out of God's rest because they did not believe God. And so the writer of Hebrews gives us a warning based on this example. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. The lesson we need to learn from Massa and Meribah is about the condition of our hearts. Just as we read in verse 7, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. When we hear God, we hear him with our heart. And faith in God comes from our heart. Just as it says in Romans, it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. If our hearts are hard, God can't speak to us and we can't hear him. Hardness of heart prevents God's word from penetrating into our hearts and it keeps faith from growing. But encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. One reason for a hard heart is the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful. Now, all sins are evil, but some sins are particularly deceitful because sin does not advertise its deadly consequences. And the deceitful sins, I think, are the small sins. We wouldn't fall for a big sin. We wouldn't be fooled by some great, big, heinous, gross, horrible sin. But we're deceived by sins that don't look so bad. Sins that seem too small to really hurt anybody. Who's it going to hurt? These are the deceitful sins that harden our hearts. Hardness of heart starts by not trusting God in the little things that God tells us to do. Instead of believing God, we fall for sin's deception. We ignore God's voice. We stifle God's voice. We say, oh God, I'm not really sure that can be you telling me that. We say, oh God, I will do that, but not now and not today. Maybe tomorrow. Or, God, that's an awful lot of money to put in the offering. But each small act of unbelief and disobedience adds another layer of hardness to our heart, making it more and more difficult to hear God's voice and easier to do bigger and bigger sins. The opposite is also true. The more we believe and follow God's word, even in small things, the more we become able to hear God's voice, and the softer and more tender and more open our hearts become. This writer warns us that an unbelieving heart turns away from the living God. But then he says, if we have faith, the opposite will happen. We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. Through faith, we will share in Christ. We will share everything he is, everything he has accomplished, and everything he promised. We will learn that everything we need is in Jesus, and we share in a relationship with a living God whom we know and experience every day as he lives in us. There's a condition here, and the condition starts with this little word, if. If we hold our original conviction firmly to the end. And this condition is, hold on to your original faith until the end. We're on a journey, and the prize at the end is just as important as the beginning of the journey. To get to the goal, we need to continue in the same faith we started with. There's many runners in a race who start out strong, but some run out of gas before they get to the end. The Hebrews were believers who had started out believing in Jesus with a strong assurance that he was everything they needed. But now, when they're facing unprecedented challenges and persecution and times are difficult, their faith is shaken. The writer tells them, don't drop out of the race. Hang on to the kind of faith you started with. Maybe it wasn't mature faith back then. Maybe it wasn't deep faith. Maybe it wasn't powerful miracle-working faith, but it was expectant faith. It was hopeful, confident, determined faith. It was faith that trusted completely in Jesus, and it was focused on the finish line and the prize of sharing in Christ. Today, if you hear his voice, hear what the Holy Spirit's saying. Hold on. Keep going forward. I haven't finished with you yet. I have something more wonderful in store for you than you can possibly imagine. Hold on to your faith, and you will win the prize. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And to whom did God swear they would never enter his rest if not to those who disobeyed? And so we see they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Hebrews 3:19 says, we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Unbelief is dangerous. Unbelief is deadly, and unbelief destroys. Remember, we said the writer is writing to believers, and he's warning believers about the dangers of unbelief. Some people seem to think that unbelief is an acceptable option or that it's a neutral position, but refusing to believe God is a great sin. The writer of Hebrews tells us unbelief comes from a sinful heart that's turning away from the living God. Unbelief is the carnal person and the sinful nature resisting the leading of the Holy Spirit and rising up in rebellion against God. Let's be clear what unbelief is and what it isn't. Unbelief is not the same as small faith. Maybe your faith is small, but even a tiny amount of faith is massively different than unbelief. If you have a small amount of faith, it can grow. Jesus said, with even a tiny amount of faith, you can command mountains to get out of your way. Unbelief is not the same as someone who has never known Jesus. The Holy Spirit gives faith to sinners and leads them to repentance. Unbelief is not the same as having doubts and questions. You might have doubts because you're unsure of something or because you have questions. Questions are not a problem. Questions can be answered. We can pray for help, and God can turn doubt into faith. Remember the story in the New Testament where the father said to Jesus, I do believe, but help the parts of me that don't. Help my unbelief. And Jesus helped him. Unbelief is a stubborn refusal to believe. Today, when Christians stop following God, we'd like to say, well, they need counseling for addictions, or they're suffering from trauma. But the core of many spiritual problems is simply unbelief. I believe in counseling. I'm a social worker. I've been trained, and I'm qualified to counsel. But you cannot counsel unbelief. There is no counseling for unbelief. There's no point trying to counsel someone who has hardened their heart to the point of unbelief. All you can do is give that person the truth and ask them to repent. Unbelief's a reason our churches are so weak. We have people who say they're believers, but because they were counseled into Christ, instead of submitting to God's will, it's almost impossible to detect any evidence of new life in them. We expend huge energy trying to disciple some people and fail because we keep trying to counsel unbelief instead of calling people to repent and believe God. Even today, there are people who will not enter God's rest because of unbelief. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had good news proclaimed to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now we, who have believed, enter that rest. The writer of Hebrews has really given us kind of some negative examples of faith or lack of faith, disobedience, and unbelief, and how it keeps people from entering God's rest. But the reason he's giving us all these examples is he wants us to know that the promise of entering God's rest still stands. Just because they failed to enter God's rest doesn't mean we can't. The writer of Hebrews is saying that this promised land, this wonderful destination in God, is still open and it's ours. The Holy Spirit is urging us to move forward in faith and enter this rest. God wants us to enter his rest. That's why we need to listen to his voice. That's why we need to be careful not to harden our hearts. That's why faith is so important, because the Holy Spirit is still speaking us and still calling us to move forward in faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest. What is the writer of Hebrews meaning when he says, enter that rest? I'm so glad you asked. Well, clearly, entering his rest doesn't mean that we're going to get on a plane and go to Israel and march into the land of Canaan. Because he says in this passage that even though Joshua did eventually lead the people into Canaan, that isn't the rest of God that he's talking about in Psalm 95. He says if Joshua had really led them into God's true rest, then he wouldn't have said later on, today, if you hear his voice. Entering his rest doesn't mean getting saved. It's true. We find great rest for our souls when we kneel at the Savior's feet. But Hebrews is written to people who are already believers, and it tells them to make every effort to enter the rest. He wouldn't write that to people who didn't know Jesus at all. And entering his rest is not a description of reaching heaven after we die. We're all going to die someday, so it wouldn't make much sense to tell us to make every effort to get there. And another issue with that is that one of the main features of the promised land of Canaan was that it was full of enemies. It had to be conquered. Entering his rest meant facing the people and the enemies who already possessed the land. Joshua faced many battles after he entered God's rest in Canaan, but God fought for him and gave him the victory. We have battles to fight today. We won't have battles to fight in heaven, thank the Lord. It's true that we will rest in heaven, but the Holy Spirit says today there is still a promise that we can enter his rest. The rest of God is a Sabbath rest. The writer goes right back to Genesis. Gee, we really need Genesis. Take some time and study the book of Genesis. We really need it. The writer goes right back to Genesis and the establishment of the Sabbath day when God rested from all his works. He says, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. I'll just point out that God didn't take a nap after the seventh day. Some people have this idea that God rested, which means he did absolutely nothing since then. No, God rested from his works on the Sabbath day. God is very active and he's doing many things today. That's why we can pray and call on him. But he says, anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Entering his rest means to come to a place in God where we rest from our works and rest in Christ who lives in us. This is a secret to the victorious Christian life. We know we're not saved by works of righteousness we have done, but we also need to understand when it comes to living for God, we cannot depend on our own strength and understanding. Everything we hope to accomplish in the Christian life must not be by our own works, but in dependence and in the power of the Holy Spirit. We enter this rest through faith in God that trusts God and yields to his will. We enter when we trust God for victory over sin, those enemies who possess the land, and trust God to make us more than conquerors over all the opposition and challenges we face. We enter this rest when we lay down our own works and surrender to God. Lord, I can't live this Christian life. Will you please live it for me? The Holy Spirit is speaking to us, urging us to go forward in faith. He's leading us to a wonderful place in God, where we live a life that's filled with the Holy Spirit, that follows the Spirit's leading, and receives the Spirit's strength every day through faith. Let's respond to the voice of the Holy Spirit, for the Word of God is alive and active. Sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. The Holy Spirit says today, if you hear his voice, don't ignore it, because the Word of God is alive and active. It's intended to make an impact. The Word of God is speaking to us today, is sharper than any double-edged sword. The Word of God is inescapable. When we hear God's Word, it cuts through and penetrates to the heart of every issue. Today, if we hear God's Word as the Spirit speaks to us in the Scripture, it judges our thoughts and our motivations. There is no creature hidden from his sight. The Word divides and the Word exposes. His voice exposes which hearts are hard and which hearts are obedient. The Word tears off the mask and uncovers the thoughts and desires that are really in our hearts based on how we respond to God's Word. Hearing God's Word is wonderful. Responding to God's Word shows who we really are and what we really want. We will be held accountable for every word God has spoken to us. We will give an account to God about what we did with his word and what we did with our faith. If you have to give an account to God about what you did with his word, what do you want to tell him? We live in turbulent times. Every day we face new challenges, but faith keeps moving forward. There's still a Sabbath rest for us to enter by faith. It's a place where we hear God's voice. It's a place where peace reigns in the middle of the storm. As the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, believe God. Put your trust in him and let him lead you into the wonderful place where we find rest in him. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. Holy Spirit, speak to us today. Speak to us by telling us that there's more life than there is death. Speak to us and let us hear so our hearts will be tender. Lord, lead us into a deeper place with Jesus. Lead us deep within the place that you have promised. I pray for each person, Lord, that each person may find that place of fullness in you and the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord God. We are going to step forward in faith, Lord God. We're not going to wait for tomorrow because you're speaking to us today, and in faith we recognize that today it is you who are speaking to us. I pray for each person here, Lord God, that they will see a complete revolution in their life, Lord, that they will see victory instead of defeat. They will see life at work instead of death, Lord God. They will see peace instead of struggle, Lord God. As you lead us, may we enter your rest and rest from our works and rest in Christ. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord God. Amen and amen. Thank you.